evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. We're celebrating teachers on the show tonight. Educators and school leaders are a central component of the classrooms that will have to be redesigned for the COVID-19 crisis. Now, joining us on the line to help highlight the critical role that teachers play in the response to and in the recovery from the pandemic, we have Jennifer Lasimbang, Assistant Minister of Education and Innovation in Sabah. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening. Now, can you begin by telling us what has been the most significant impact of the lockdown on teachers and the school system in Sabah?
Thank you, Melissa. I think teachers, especially all of us, are having a hard time during this MCO, but I think teachers, especially those who are teaching in rural and remote schools in Sabah and some island community schools, really they are facing the challenge of ensuring that the learning and facilitation process to run smoothly over the MCO period. And I think because in Sabah, 70% of our students are living in the rural, some very remote communities on islands and plantations, not only they do not have efficient or adequate internet access, but they don't have access to even gadgets like computers, smartphones, mobile devices at home for them to, to access to the online teaching and learning sessions.
Can I ask you specifically about the rural and marginal communities? I understand that in the last budget allocation by the federal government, there was money to be poured into dilapidated schools, upgraded dilapidated schools. And I believe Sabah and Sarawak received over 700 million ringgit in allocations. Now with the change in federal government, are those funds still going to be going to Sabah in particular to deal with those dilapidated schools?
Yes, the budget that were approved, we really hope that after the MCO period is over, we're looking very hopefully that we will be able to fix the many schools, more than 500 dilapidated and almost 100 schools that have already been declared unsafe in Sabah. So we shouldn't putting the politics behind, we should really move forward, and we need to fix all the schools for the students to have a safe learning space.
Okay. So you mentioned that 70% of students in Sabah are in rural and remote areas. Now, I'm wondering, has the design of the COVID response in terms of teaching and learning taken into consideration some of these material and cultural realities of the inequalities on the ground?
Okay. Taking into that consideration, I note that the teachers are doing their very best. They're trying to be innovative, creative, in some very dire situation where there's absolutely no internet access at all. The teachers are using whatever resources they have to ensure that the teaching and learning process continues. And I think one of my biggest, one of the things that we can look at is the different, even literacy level and the knowledge and skills of parents, and, of course, their immediate family will greatly influence how they can support the home learning. And we also look at how, I'm very worried about children with disabilities and also children with parents with disability will definitely find it very difficult to support their children's learning at home.
What about the role of the state government then? Because you seem to have maybe a deeper sense of what is happening on the ground. How does the state government play a role? I mean, what exactly is it supplying teachers in order to fill the gaps that you just pointed to?
At that level, we work very closely with the Department of Education in Sabah. Ultimately, education is under the purview of Ministry of Education Malaysia. But we are here in Sabah to support whatever the teachers or any of the education sector need in terms of support. And we're here to listen. And we're looking at giving the right input. For example, we know that the internet access is one of the biggest drawback, and maybe perhaps we can explore other ways or other method of delivering home learning to areas where there's absolutely no internet access and it will not be available in a very near future. But maybe we can come up with innovative ideas like using radio, for example, to deliver education. So we are here to look at, and of course we have the ground experience on what is happening in Sabah.
So apart from the internet issues, the connectivity issues and the quality internet, what are the teachers telling you? I mean, you say you're listening to the teachers in Sabah. What is it that teachers need the most? Is it training? Is it resources? What kind of support are they asking for?
Yeah, I think while many of the teachers, they do have the additional skills to produce, like, for example, e-learning materials. But some of them, they might be even stuck in locations that probably went home just before the MCO was enforced. And where they are, they might not have the materials nor the equipment to create or publish their own online lesson. I mean, everybody is taken by surprise with this, and nobody is that prepared. But of course, the teachers wouldn't have enough time to basically migrate the whole learning into an online platform. But of course, there's many areas that teachers are trying their best. Like some of them, instead of relying on the online home learning, some of them, they have to print, basically print out and deliver assignments and workbooks, and actually some of them, they need to go through very difficult terrain to actually deliver this to their students. And they have been contacting the grassroots leaders like the MPKKs or the village heads to help them deliver the materials to the students and then pick them up and send it back to the school or the teachers concerned. So everybody's trying to cope here with the whatever is happening in our space.
I wonder, though, you know, it seems like maybe in many rural areas the virus might not actually be present. I mean, many green areas might allow for schools to return to a normal, ordinary and conventional ways of teaching. What's your sense of the timeline for a return, and what kind of areas might move more quickly back into the normal mode, and where areas where things might have to change more radically?
Okay, we know that the most of the rural areas are not affected, but we just can't take any chances. I mean, education we can delay, but we can't take any chance of just like, okay, being complacent and say, okay, with the green area, there's no... But we, as the person coming into the communities, we might be the one bringing the virus and... But I think we just have to comply. We just have to know, talk to parents right now and asking them, are you nervous about your children not being able to access to the normal education? And they said, you know, what is half a year or a year not in the usual school setup?
Right.
We do not want our kids to be exposed. Let's teach them some other things to learn, like life skills, for example. Let them touch the ground, let them do some gardening, let's teach them different, something, what do you call it?
Other skills, right? I love that, Jennifer. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm wondering whether this crisis is actually, there's an opportunity for us to rethink education. Is there room for creative responses in the way we've been approaching rote learning?
I think it's the best way for us to rethink. I mean, technology has always been there for us to use, but it also creates gaps. Not just gaps between the rural and remote communities, but even within the urban setting, you know, the rich and poor will have different access, or we say benefit or advantage or things like that. And that's why I was thinking of using, we need to look at other ways of what exactly is education. Yes, not going out of the way and not looking at the formal need to know writing, reading, and counting, but we also need to relook at what is it, because the needs in the rural community is very different from the needs for the urban children. And I think this is the best time. Yeah, basics of education is there, the formal, but I think COVID-19 and the MCO have given us a time to look at, and parents actually. I'm a mom to a 9-year-old, and I've never felt so hopeless in teaching my own child math.
We definitely appreciate teachers so much more after this MCO. Absolutely. For sure. Thank you so Absolutely. Much for speaking with us tonight. Yeah. YB Jennifer, appreciate your time. After this, we're going to be speaking to one of the teachers that inspired the film Adiwiraku. Stay tuned to Consider This.